You need this uprise right now, don't you?
You see, I got the t-shirt on.
I see it, man.
You see, I got the t-shirt. Hold on. Let me hold on.
When you put that hood on, I get nervous. Oh, you haven't lost your aggressiveness. I wonder if that's because we got some special things to talk about, and there's a special
Who we got
guest.
In here, man? Who we got
we
in
have
here?
A special guest here today.
First of all, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you going to give him the clap? Or, you know, the J Bell clap?
Oh, yeah. Should I give him? Yeah.
Give it to him.
We got
to
say his name first, okay, though. He's been spoken about before.
Yeah.
Many times. He's our captain.
Yes, absolutely.
Super Bowl champion with you.
Yes, he is.
Coach at Arizona State.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just keep on listening to accolades.
You know.
Man. Keep on listening to accolades.
It's so many of them, but he's our guy. Antonio Pierce all the way in London.
A-P.
Look him up, ladies and gentlemen. Look him up. Antonio Pierce is in the house. The captain, our leader, he's here.
Best linebacker I ever played with.
Best linebacker I've ever played with.
We're playing a game. I'll never forget this. This is when I started to know that, you know, something was afoot here. Playing against the Washington Redskins. I saw a guy by the name of Antonio Pierce.
Yes.
Literally call out every single play they were going to run. The most amazing thing I've ever seen. OC, right. I'm running to the right. OC, they're going here. I'm going to the ball's just it. Amazing. We beat them 36-0, by the way. Crazy. What's up, AP?
What up, Chief? The Chief. Let him know about the Chief, man.
Let him know about the Chief.
When the Chief used to walk in the locker room, everybody, the rose petals came out. Everybody went to a knee. When Chief OC walked in the building, in the locker room, everything stopped. Everybody talks about everybody else, the captain, the Strahan, the GOAT, you know what I mean, the Tiki's. But it was all about the Chief. The Chief came in, the pedals
the
came
Chief.
Out. It was amazing, man. I mean, I think the best part about those years were probably the meeting rooms.
Mm.
You know, you got to go back to like 06. There was this song, and I didn't know what it meant at the time. And I'm watching OC in the middle of our defensive meeting shoot jump shots. So I'm wondering, why is he throwing trash? Why is he throwing papers in the middle of our meeting talking about
ballin'?
And we go to practice, and they start shooting jump shots in the middle of practice. And TC says, "Hey, P, what's going on?" And I have no clue. And that's a problem because you're the captain. You're supposed to know. We're going to figure this out. Then we go to the game, and they start getting sacks, like a lot of sacks. And the jump shots were going crazy. We had a 34-year-old defensive end at the time trying to shoot fadeaway jump shots. Straight was shooting fadeaway.
Like, straight, sit your old ass.
We got that video, by the way.
But then it got so bad, they start blocking each other's shots. They just swatted. How do you swat somebody's shot after a sack, man? Those are the great years, though.
Incredible.
That's what it was about, man.
Incredible.
You know what's funny, too? OC was telling a story one time about when he left practice. Okay? So he's.
No.
But wait,
when he left the building.
Yeah. But I told him. The funny part of this is, I call you that day, and you said, "Oh man, OC done left the building."
I said, "The Chief." I said, "I went to. I remember going to the cafeteria and asked for a bunch of milk cartons, and I put his face all over milk cartons. He was a missing defensive end. Our all-pro defensive end was gone. We went and checked the cameras, and he physically left the building in a car and all.
Oh my!
And he did not want to come back.
Did not come back.
He was like, "Oh, just come back. Just give us 5 more minutes, please. You left us last year. We need you."
He checked the camera.
But he did it so, the thing about it, he was so polite. He got up. He stood up after a couple comments by our DC at the time. And he tucked his chair in, put it in very, very nice and neatly. Put his little notes to the side. Walked out the door and left. And I'm like, he's just going to the bathroom. I've never seen it done before in my life.
And as a captain, you're supposed to have the answers.
Yeah, and again, where's OC? So I go in the locker room, call him. I said, "Man, just come back. I need you to come back." But it's going to be okay. And it did. It worked out. He came back, and, you know, OC did what OC does.
I need you to come back.
I need you. Hey man, when the chief, you can be a captain, but if you ain't got your chief,
he's the chief.
It don't matter, man.
I like that. You know what? I'm glad you put that out there on the podcast because our listeners come up with some epic things. Mm. And now that they have the chief in their repertoire, chief? I couldn't even come with that greatness.
No, listen, I heard your intro. It's got to change. You know, it's like coming to America. You know, when Eddie Murphy didn't walk down, the rose petals dropping. You guys just need to play that before every episode, just, and let OC just get his feet rubbed as he walks step by step.
That's what I'm need to do. So happy you're here because, like, I can tell that story, right? And nobody really. They were like, I don't think they understand.
Oh no,
what really transpired? Like. Just got up and left. That was it. I was just gone. I left.
But they checked the cameras.
TC, they checked all the security cameras. They said, no, we see a white Bentley rolling out of the complex, and that's OC. That's the mysterious man.
That's the crazy part. You Madness. Didn't even know they checked the cameras on you.
I had no idea, but, you know, sometimes you just got to put your foot down, man.
Oh, my God.
Sometimes you just have to put your foot down.
Oh,
man.
I love it.
But throughout all that.
Yep.
They always had my back.
True.
And I caused many problems in New York. They always had my back all the time. They were like, as soon as I come back, it was like nothing even happened.
Yeah.
Nothing even happened. It was the coolest thing.
But we did have to throw away those milk cartons after a while. You know what I mean? You couldn't have your missing OC pictures all over the building.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny that you said it because we made some comments on some other teams this year and about what's happened in their locker room. And because of your experience, you can say there's something wrong in this locker room. AP, you know a couple of teams have had some problems with players holding out, offensive linemen not treating them correctly, taking their shoes and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And OC called him out. He said, man, something wrong with this locker room. And you just made it all make sense by saying, in your situation, that didn't happen.
Never. Not once.
And how are you feeling today? That's more important. How are you feeling today? A.K.A. back from Kilimanjaro. The man is back. How do you feel? Give us a breakdown.
Let me put it to you like this. Jason, I climbed to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro, and when I was up there, I had a conversation with death. I looked death right in his eyes, and I was like, I was ready to go see him. But, you know, they were like, you know what,
I'm laughing, but I'm not laughing.
Nah, they were like, nah, Jason. This was literally the hardest single thing I've ever done. Now, obviously, the old school training camp, that's like a month long.
Yes.
That's harder.
Yes.
You know.
You're right.
Because that's like 2 days banging, sometimes 3 days.
Right.
You know how that was. Now but I'm talking about like, this was the hardest single thing I've ever done in my entire life. I had no idea it was going to be this difficult. Had I known it was going to be this difficult, would I have accepted? I'm not, you know, I don't know, Jason. I don't know. Because, you know, when they asked me to do it,
right?
It's for a great cause, comic relief, Red Nose. These people are literally saving lives. You know what? I want to get to something else about that, but we'll talk about that
later.
All right,
cool.
They're literally saving lives. So they asked me to do it. I was like, okay, no problem. I didn't know we were literally going to put our lives at risk.
To save lives.
To save lives. Like I didn't know. So
makes sense.
The first day, you know, we get there, we climb, you know. The first day was only about a 4-hour climb up. It was hard, but in my head, I'm like, okay, I can do this. Mm-hmm. Second day, now they start to progress everything. And it starts to rain, it gets cold, and now we gotta walk up 8-9 hours, right? We're sleeping in tents, little bitty tents. We're having to use the bathroom outside. Like, it was real.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, they got superstar, pop stars, Little Mix. Mm. They got, you know, Danny Dyer, Ed Ball, Xana Armstrong, like really big names in the UK. So I'm not thinking that they're going to ask these people to to do all that.
You're thinking there has to be a better setup, right?
They call it glamping. Not camping, glamping. This is what I'm thinking that.
Oh, yeah. No, I can dig it.
No. They literally put us through the toughest thing they possibly could do. And, you know, at first it was okay, but after a while I started to get a little upset because I started to see the real danger that people were, that we were in. You understand?
Right, right.
Now, we had really good guides. You understand? Tarek, outstanding guy. But, like, there were certain parts of the thing so narrow that if you put 1 foot wrong, bro, you are tumbling off that hill and nobody's going to be able to save you. You understand what I mean? So it was, it was bizarre in
and
a
even
way.
When you have your, even when you have your senses about you, that's difficult.
Yeah.
But when you're tired, your body is like focusing on basic elements of survival.
Yeah.
Like one step, one step.
That's it. That's all they tell you. They're like, listen, you're going to get to a point, especially Summit Night. Mm-hmm. Summit Night was the hardest. You it's like you start at 11:30, basically midnight, and only when we're coming down the next morning did I understand why. They were like, they don't want you to see what it is you're doing because the mountain is like an incline like this.
Oh my goodness!
And it is all the way to the sky. You understand what I'm trying to say? All the way to the sky. And so if you
it's like walking up a ladder.
Exactly. If you see it in the daytime, you'd be like, "This, I'm not doing this."
Yeah, yeah.
And they say that people who they've taken during the daytime saw it and they're like, I'm not getting involved in this.
Right.
So they now started to make people do it at night. Yeah. So you're climbing up at nighttime and then you look up and everybody has their headlights on and that's all you see all the way to the sky, just headlights, and it just feels like it's never gonna end. We get to the top and then there's another 3 hours that you have to get to Uhuru Peak. Yeah. To Uhuru Peak. Now this is where, you know, this is where it almost came to the end.
Let's talk about that because we spoke about that before the mics went live.
Yeah.
So you get up there.
We get to Gilligan's Point is the first point. And then it's another 2.5-3 hours to Uhuru Peak, which is the highest point in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the altitude, it's so severe, you're only supposed to stay up there for 5 to 10 minutes maximum. But because we have to take the pictures and all these things, you know, we're up there longer than that. So
when you're not supposed to be.
So I now start to feel extremely, extremely ill. Mm-hmm. Now, up until that point, I hadn't experienced the altitude sickness. I had, like, slight headaches and things like that. But I hadn't experienced the real altitude sickness.
Yeah.
And so I get to that point, and I'm like, I literally feel my body start to shut down. So all I want to do is the weirdest sensation, Jason. All I want to do is just go to sleep. I was just like, let me just sleep. So as soon as they found out that I was going down, they called the doctor to me. So the doctor came to me, and I was like, Doc, his name was Jeff. I was like, Jeff, please just let me sleep. I just want to sleep right here.
Yeah.
He kept on waking me. He was like, nah, you got to get down now. You got to get down now because people fall asleep there, and they just die because their brain swells, and they just
So their brain swells, and they stop breathing?
They stop breathing. They just die up there. And I felt the need. I felt it coming over me. I was like, please, Doc. I was begging him. I was like, Doc, let me just sleep. He was like, no, you got to get down. So we start walking down, and I'm already, mind you, we've been walking since almost midnight.
Yeah.
It's like 9 o'clock in the morning now.
Oh, my goodness. Your legs is jello.
Dead. And I'm like, please, let me just sleep here. He's like, no. So we now had to walk down another 4 hours to get to that point.
You couldn't rest for four more hours?
You couldn't rest for 4 hours after that. It was insane. But we made it, though.
I mean.
We made it.
And if you would have known all this.
Yeah.
Like you said before.
Impossible.
Well, I mean, as you tell me now, it's impossible what I ever do.
Impossible. But I tell you what it did do.
Okay.
I tell you what it did do, Jason. We pushed ourselves before. We push ourselves.
Yes.
You understand?
Yeah.
You're not aware how far you can push yourself till you go through something like that.
You just took my question away from me.
Yeah.
You took my one question I had away from me.
You're not aware.
And this is what Kilimanjaro has done for you. He's made you not only tougher, but now you can read minds. Okay, so this is what you did.
Jason, until you're in that situation, right, you're not aware. Because every single fiber, every single muscle in your body is saying, you must stop now. Mm. You must stop right now.
Right.
This is the end for you. But everybody's there. Cameras is on you. You've talked a lot of trash. Because I developed into, like, a leader. You understand what I mean?
It's natural. Though.
Yeah.
It's natural.
So, and even though my body's telling me to stop.
You got to lead.
You got to go. So, I'm like, just one step. Just put one step in front of the other. And my mind is saying, your body's saying, Osi, you can't.
Yeah.
Just chill right now. Just lay down. And your mind is just saying, go, go, go. Until you finally reach it. And then when you're there, only when you come, like, because I couldn't process
right.
what was going on until, like, a day after. Remember, we talked.
Yeah.
And I still.
You were just like.
Yeah, I still couldn't understand,
yeah.
you know, what quite had happened. But then when you finally have come down and you're like, man, I made it all the way up there. And I did something that there's just no possible way that I felt like I could have accomplished.
Right.
And then you're like, okay, I can do anything. It's amazing.
So I think you just made sense of it all. Because the challenge was unreal, yeah. right? But by your last statement, mm-hmm. I get the attraction to it.
Yes.
Because people, there's something about nature, period, right?
Yeah.
Human beings have always been connected to it. Mm-hmm. You go out there, you push yourself to the limit.
Yes.
It's hard, it's tough. Everything sucks about it. You come down, you be like, but this is what it did for me.
100%.
This is what it did for me. And there's a reason why it will continue because of that.
Yeah.
Until you do that, you don't know who or what you are if you don't push yourself in all different aspects of life.
100%, Jason.
Your friend, Kyle Long, right?
Chris Long.
Let me see, yeah. It's Chris Long. Chris Long does. So Chris Long does mm-hmm. it. Okay. But you're friends with Kyle.
Chris.
You're friends with Chris.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, Kyle's aligned.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. So he does this every year?
This is his second year of doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you had done this when you were playing,
yeah,
what would that have done to the way you approached your training?
Yeah.
Or the games? Or yeah. just anything? I don't know.
Okay.
What do you think?
Very interesting. Yes.
What do you think?
Very interesting you asked me that, Jason. Very,
because he's doing it two times now. Yes. So he's got a reason, but then there's always another reason.
That's a great question, bro. And I'll tell you why. So I'm training this morning,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm training this morning.
All right.
I'm on the VersaClimber. I'm training. Mm-hmm. And it gets to a point where everybody in the class is tired. And the lady's like, we got 3 minutes left. Push as hard as you can. And I swear to God, my mind went straight to Kilimanjaro. Nope.
Just
straight there. I was like, listen. If I can put myself, I'm not making this up. This yeah. just happened to me. Myself. If I can put myself through that, you're not going to, what are you talking about? And I just start going.
Yeah.
I just kept going. Yeah. I was tired, but I knew, like, I can tell myself. And usually I would stop at a point like that. I'd be like, yeah, what am I doing? You know, I have no reason to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What am I training
no
for? Yeah, I'm not playing for anything. Forget this. And I'll stop. And I'll get up and leave. And then right. As I was doing that today, I was like, you see, this is the problem with you, right? I said, this is the problem with you. You're like, you would stop usually at a point like this. But because I had been through it, I was like, no, I'm just going to push through it. And I pushed through it, and it was okay. So I think for a guy like Chris, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. whenever a situation gets tough for him, and everybody who's been through something like that,
yep.
whenever something physical gets tough like that, you will tell yourself, I've literally done something that is 10 times as hard as what I'm about to do now. There was a guy who runs ultra marathons,
right.
which is 100 miles yeah. at a time. His name is Greg White, professor. And he came onto the climb with this. He was like, this is tougher than an ultra marathon. That's what he said. He was like, this is literally tougher than an ultra marathon. And all those things are like, they're all here, bro. It's like everything is up here. Your body is, I promise you, is incredible. It's incredible, man.
Would you do it again, though?
I wouldn't, because I've already done it.
Because I'm
understand what I'm trying to say?
I'll tell you this.
I'm not lying to you. It's something that I feel like everybody should experience once, but after you've experienced it, you just do it just for that, for that mental of knowing exactly what you can push yourself to do. But other than that, there's no reason why you would want to climb my Kilimanjaro twice.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? There's no reason. Because all the benefit is in getting up there that first time.
And getting it done.
That's where the benefit is.
It's crazy because I've always leaned on my experience with playing and the ups and downs and the adverse situations
yeah.
that we've faced in my life outside of sports. But now I'm like, I gotta turn up. I gotta turn it up.
Yeah, yeah. It's. I'm not gonna say you should do it, but because Jason is so hard, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I'm not lying to you. I wouldn't wish that feeling, the struggle.
Right.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. But then, the feeling of when you come down. Mm. That I would wish on all my friends.
Ah, got it.
You understand what I'm trying
yes.
to say?
No.
If there was a way you could get that feeling without having yeah. to go
yeah.
through.
Where's the shortcut?
Yeah. If there was a way, I'll be like, you know what, Jason? Yeah. I want you to get that. But in order for you to really get that feeling, you have to go through that hell, bro. And I'm not making this up, Jason. It is literally hell. It is hell. It is. No doubt about that. It is. There's no. It is hell.
Word on the street is you were up there legitimately saving lives.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was with my girl, Shirley. Shirley mm-hmm. Ballas. I call her my main girl, Shirley Show. My main girl, Shirley Show. Now, she's a judge on Strictly Come Dancing. Mm-hmm. Come Dancing. Amazing dancer. She did a couple of things. She's incredible. And me and her, we clicked because. You know, she didn't like the, when it was time to work, she didn't want to talk.
Ah, that is like you.
Yeah, that's how I am.
Yeah.
She wasn't about all that.
Nah, it's time, let's work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So me and her were always at the front and, you know, we wouldn't talk because after the first day, I understood how difficult, I was like, oh, these people aren't playing. This is dead serious. You understand? So I understood how difficult it was going to be. So I was like, okay, we got to focus. Mm-hmm. And she was the same way. So we would lead at the front and we would just walk. And the other people behind us, really, really great people. I'm talking about Anita, Danny, Xander, Dan Walker, Jade, Leanne. Who else? Ed Balls. Ed could talk, man. Oh, my God.
Well, we talked about that.
Oh, my God. That man can talk. Great guy. Very nice soul. Kind-hearted individual.
Right.
But God, that man could talk.
That's energy, right?
Whoo. So, you know, Shirley wasn't about that. Shirley just wanted to just crack on with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm with Shirley the whole time. And, you know, for the first 2 days, she's just grinding. She's just, boom, just killing everybody. You understand? And it's just me and her. But then, you know, it started to catch up to her.
Right.
You understand? And so things started to get treacherous at this point in time. So we start the climb. And because of the footpath was so narrow and things of that nature, a lot of times she would slip.
Oh.
And because, you know, I'm big, strong, I'm right behind her. So I literally had to catch her
a couple
of times.
Got that arm reach.
Boom, boom, boom. So she started to kind of like rely on, you know, so me being behind her kind of gave her
a little more confidence.
Exactly.
Like if I do slip up, that's good teamwork, right?
Exactly. Man. And I literally caught her a couple of times. That's not even, and she tells you, not even exaggerating.
Yeah.
Like I literally caught her a couple of times and stopped her from falling over.
You focused on yourself. You trying to get up the terrain yourself. So
exactly.
It's just
and I'm like,
pure
oh
instinct.
My God. So I'm just looking at her, and I'm right behind her. And every time she slip, I'll just catch her, and then we'll just keep rolling.
Nothing said. Just keep moving.
Walking. She'd be like, thanks, Oz. Shirley was the coolest.
Just straight to work.
Coolest lady, man. Like, but you know how it is in training camp.
Yeah.
Like, when you go through a particularly hard training camp,
yep.
Like, you make friends for, you know, these are like your boys.
For life.
You've been through.
Three of us in this room.
Exactly.
I mean.
Exactly. So that's how that went.
I want you to continue this, but I had just a funny thing when you said that.
Yeah.
About talking, right?
Yeah.
And about your business.
Yeah.
I remember us in a game, and AP used to call our plays, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he would have to run sometimes in coverage
okay.
and then run back to the huddle. And us DBs, we don't huddle up.
Right.
We're in the back.
You're so sweet.
Yeah.
Y'all so sweet.
Yeah.
We're so sweet.
We in the back, you know, what's the call, AP? What's the call? Uh-huh. You know, so AP can't talk. He can't breathe. He comes back to the huddle, breathing hard. He goes, if you MFers don't shut up, nobody's getting a call. And you know, we freaked us out because we knew, like, oh, man, we don't, if AP ain't on, we don't know what's happening back here, man. I mean, I never been so scared in the game. Ain't nobody getting a call.
Hey, man, you know the crazy part about when you say all that? You know, you go back and you remember those moments. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's, you know what it is? You want to, I think we all wanted to be great at that time. You know, and everybody says that, but we really felt we had something special there.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, man, if I could do this a little bit extra and help these guys out and tell them. But then I felt like you guys were taking advantage of me. I felt victimized at times, man, that, you know, you guys would rely on me to say everything.
But we were.
This is the truth.
We did.
And there were times I was like, bro, I'm gassed too. Like, I'm running around making tackles and trying to chase guys too. And you guys were literally like, and we used to always get in huddle because, you know, we used to have our sayings before we broke a huddle.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
probably, to me, my still favorite moments.
Yeah.
We would say things. Whatever our mood was for practice, if somebody was mad at a coach or a player, or we were, if it was off with their
heads,
the rebellion of training camp. Nobody understands what that means until you were at a Giants training camp in Albany in those years, man. But that brought so much continuity together for right. us, man. But those are the joys and the things that you look back on when you talk about what you played and things you miss. It's those moments, because you remember that moment. You remember that play or that those words said at that time, man, and there's nothing more special about that. And when you could relive it, and it's years later, you still, you can laugh the same way you laughed at that moment and say, damn, that was fun.
That was fun.
That was fun, man. I'll tell you what, though, this is fun. It's interesting because, you know, I got to watch you guys on social media. So I've been watching my two compadres, my two mates. You know, guys I played with, guys I grew up with since I was a kid, and I'm watching these two stars. You guys are like television stars. And like, OC was a guy that didn't really like doing media.
This is crazy, right?
OC didn't want to ever talk.
Let them know the truth behind this.
The mic, I'm looking at the mic, I'm looking at these cameras in front of them, the followers. I'm like, this is the same guy that wouldn't talk to the media. He didn't want to have nothing to say. No press conference, nothing before or after, nothing. And now you guys are like the biggest stars in UK, representing the NFL very well, man. I'm actually honored to be here.
This guy, man.
I'm honored to be in your presence. Like, I flew from Los Angeles.
This is true.
11-hour flight.
This is true.
To watch you guys live.
You know what's so funny? I didn't think about that. But for you, this must be so strange.
This must be so strange
listen, to watch.
I am sitting back in this chair, and I want to, you know, take pictures and video, but I want to soak it in because it's real. Like, I'm touching. This is live. This is real. Like, and it's amazing because, again, when you play in New York and you play for the Giants, there's 1,000 mics and cameras and television and opportunities to speak and showcase your ability to talk and be articulate. And now I'm listening to you guys. I'm like, wow, these guys are like, they're going in depth about climbing mountains and seeing clouds and saving lives. And this is good TV, man. This is really good, man. I can see why you win a lot of awards.
Here we go.
When the chief walks in the building,
the
I'm
chief,
like,
man, I like it.
Man,
it's like the Oscars out here for you. Like, no, you're like a different kind of celebrity.
He can do whatever he wants. And I'm coattailing it all the way there, AP.
Man, you know, we got Strahan in the U.S.
Yep.
And we got OC in the U.K.
Man,
I feel like, you know, people don't understand. Think about this, though, also. Not just you two guys, but all the guys that we play with and how many of those guys on television are doing stuff in the media.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Guys.
Yeah.
All our offensive linemen.
Yeah.
They're all in there.
And all the big guys are now skinny.
Yeah.
Hell, OC looked like a damn DB now running around. He's already fast.
OC faster than me now.
Man, that dude used to get on that treadmill. I'd be like, whoa, what are we doing? Like,
remember the gold cleats?
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
Just
smooth. Speaking of that, it's something called a four technique, right? A four technique. This is like when you have to play the run, and I hated playing the run. Nothing would make me happier than when the coach would send a call in, and I'm supposed to be in a four, and AP would be like, OC, forget that, rush! You see him doing this, rush, rush!
Hey, Adam goes, he gets so wide. I'm like, I said, but it could be a run. Just being alert, it could be a run or a screen, and I need help. Oh, it's gone.
Gone. Like, the minute he gave me that call, gone. I'm not hearing nothing.
But it could be a screen.
No, but it could be possible. And there's a 50-50 chance. I don't know if I'm right on this one, but go ahead and go get the quarterback. Most time it happened, man. Those guys are great at that, man.
Incredible.
You're so right about AP in the game, too. We were playing against Seattle, and they had us in a formation where they basically spread us all out. And I was the safety in the back, and AP looked back at me, and he goes, he saw me kind of backpedaling. He said, don't move. He said, when they snap the ball, do not move because it's just me and you. Yeah. Like, it's all bad. Yeah. Like, don't move. And he was right.
It was a run play.
It was a run play. But it's all game. Then we go into the – and we've talked about this, me and OC. The Chief on previous podcast, when the defensive coordinator came in and started mentioning safeties they were working out that week. And basically talking about cutting me. And it was all because he kept doing the film. He's like, look at you. You won't even move one step. You're not backpedaling. And in my mind, I'm like, but AB told me not to move. And I can't say that.
Yeah, no,
so I'm just going to eat that.
Hey, that's another one of those things behind the curtain that people don't understand. Like, there's things that go on the field that you just can't tell your coaches that
no,
we don't.
Yeah. No.
You know, as long as we're on the same page. And that was the thing about us as well. We were always on the same page. That's why we had our – remember the Friday meetings?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get everybody in there to watch film?
Yeah. You would lead it.
Yeah.
And it was like, all right, he calls this, but what are we really going to do? Nobody – it doesn't leave the room, but what are we really going to do? Okay, really I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Yeah. All right, boom, we're going to roll. And then you expect it. Then all of a sudden that play happens on third and long, and you're like, all right, we know what's up.
Yep.
And it's easy, man.
When you have like, basically a general, a defensive coordinator on the field playing with you, it takes you to a completely different level, man.
Without a doubt.
Completely different level. And for Antonio, you know, like we all knew the type of player he was. We all knew the type of person he was. But until you don't have him there anymore,
whoa,
then you don't really – that's when you know.
Whoa.
That's when you know.
I remember when he had to retire, and I spoke to someone in upper management, and I said, this is going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, what do you mean? I was like, it wasn't about, you know, the eight guys – or so, that knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the other ones.
The other guys.
He's telling them what to do,
yeah.
When to do it, and how to do it.
It's crazy.
I said, you know, everybody's not that prepared, you
it's
know.
Crazy.
And he told me a couple years later, he's like, oh, you were really right about that. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm telling you, man, because, you know, not only that, it's just managing the personalities, knowing how you can talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a leader like that, and I think the good teams identify guys like that and roll with that, and I've been lucky enough to be around guys like that.
And also, Jason, I made quite a few plays in my career. Big plays.
Your name is in the stadium.
Big play.
It is in the stadium. It's in bold letters, too.
Your name's in the stadium forever.
We were playing in the playoffs against the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, talk about this play. Talk about it. I saw it the other day as a New York Giants highlight.
I saw literally probably the greatest defensive play I've ever seen in my life, bro.
Man.
They run a screen play.
Yes.
And I'm talking about we are finished.
Yeah. Sideline. The sideline looks like the expressway with nobody on it.
Hey, that's one of those moments, too, where I probably said jet. But it could be a runner screen. It could be a runner screen. Hands up. I don't think he heard that play.
Jason, I am 10 yards up the field. I am gone. And I feel the guy push me past. Mm-hmm. And then I see the screen developing.
And you're like, oh.
And I don't see nobody. I'm like, oh, my God, we are finished. I remember thinking this. As the play is going on,
the Super Bowl.
We are finished. And all of a sudden, I just see, I see one guy.
With two blockers.
One guy with two offensive linemen on him. If this guy doesn't make this play, we are finished. This guy had to split the two people. This is what you call want to.
Yeah, exactly.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
This is what you call
back to Kilimanjaro.
It's you couldn't have known. There's just no possible way you could have known how the position you were in.
The repercussions of you not making that.
Now, I've always wanted to ask you, what was going through your mind?
I remember that was what, like late second quarter?
Mm-hmm.
They were in the red zone.
Red zone.
And it was third down. And I remember, we had Michael Johnson in with us. He was a rookie.
Yeah.
And we were playing that dime defense. We didn't have Kavika. I mean, Kavika wasn't in with me. So Mike was supposed to be on the right. And if you watch it, he goes to the left last second. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, it was boom, ball snap. I'm like, oh, okay. And got, think about who's on the right side. Oh, OC's on the right side. I gave him a jet call. Oh, yeah, he's gone. He all of a sudden, I see the lineman take off. And I'm like, oh, no. Because we wasn't in man. We was in zone.
Oh.
And he was really number three. And when it happened, it was just one of those, like, man, I'm going to take my shot.
Yeah.
You know that even as a pass rusher, you're like, I'm going to get this get off, and I'm going to swipe at the ball. I'm taking my shot at it. And I ain't gonna lie, when the play happened, when I got him down, I remember holding on. I'm like, bro, I hope these dudes are running to the ball. I hope the rest of the guys are holding the ball. Because if the lineman kind of just pulls me off or does anything, I can't hold on. Because the running back was pretty thick at the time. Mm. And I just remember just like, man, just hold on. I just dropped my weight. And I think, I don't know who was the first guy. Maybe it was Jay Offer. Somebody came in. Bam, 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 okay. And if you look at the whole entire play, even until it ended, I kind of jumped up and went to the sideline. And I remember Jesse Armstead was there. He's like, hey, man, that was a pretty good play. I'm like, yeah? He's like, yeah, that was a good play. And you don't know. You know. And then
in the middle of the game when they say that, it's a good play.
Yeah, and then the game goes on, and then you look at it later, and you're like, and it's one of those plays that always kind of pops up around our playoff time. And that run, and you say, you know, those are the plays that you go from being down by double digits to just, you know, under seven. And it gives you an opportunity to stay in the game where – we needed every play and every opportunity to come back and beat Brett Favre and the Packers. Man. Negative 25, though. That's what I do remember more than anything else. The play, great. I remember walking into the stadium. Well, I remember everything. How about when we got off the plane and that tarmac, and they opened the doors. You're like, oh, my God. Get back in the plane and go back to New York. Not doing it. If it's not the Super Bowl the week four, I'm walking out like OC. I'm getting back on the plane. I'm going back to New York. If it's preseason week three like he did,
I'll not play this.
I'm going. I'm going back to New York. Mom,
I don't
Dad.
Need this.
I don't need that in my life. But then you remember this? We went to the hotel. You couldn't turn the heat up.
Yep.
Oh, they did you like that?
It was like 60 was the highest you can get. Maybe 50. You had the heat all the way up to 90. Then it was blowing cold air.
Oh, my.
And then we got to the stadium. I remember the best part when we was doing pregame. And we layered up. But some of you guys want to be, you know, tough guys.
Hardcore.
And mama's probably mad at you guys that one. And I remember looking at plaques, and he gave me that look like, oh, we're not staying out here for 7-on-7 too much longer. Mm-hmm. And I looked at Eli, like, he's like, I said, I'll cut those nasty plays. And you don't probably remember this, but you guys probably even noticed. But TC came to me, he's like, what happened in pregame? Why was it shorter? Because, you know, he knew every second and minute. He was like, why are we in 2 minutes early? We need to regroup.
We
need to talk about this, man, because whatever I got on ain't doing the job. It's not working. We had chicken broth on the sideline.
It's crazy.
We had cocoa on the sideline. We wasn't even drinking water.
Oh, my God.
So cold.
I don't know how we're doing. Like, funny. I hear you talk about the mountain climbing, and I'm like, and that's one of those moments, too. Like, man, minus 25. Like, most times they stay indoors.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go indoors. Don't, nobody go outside.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're playing a four-hour game to go to the Super Bowl.
You have to perform.
You have to perform.
You got to perform.
Everybody's watching. Yeah.
Whatever I got on isn't working.
Not working. Let's regroup, guys. Let's regroup.
Speaking of this Kilimanjaro trip, man, this is just one thing I just wanted to mention.
I wanted you to mention something else, too.
Yeah. This is just one thing I wanted to mention. There's an MP by the name of David Lammy. Yeah. David Lammy is the guy's name. I didn't know David was a black guy until maybe like yesterday when I looked him up.
Okay.
I literally didn't know he was black. So we do this climb, and he comes out and he says, he was talking about somebody else, but he was like, the person had went to Uganda. Mm-hmm. It was a white lady. She'd went to Uganda, and she was holding a baby. She's talking about, you know, do some things to save, you know, these starving children. Mm-hmm. And David Lammy comes out and he says, we don't need any more white saviors, you know, going to Africa and, you know, doing all these things.
Mm-hmm. I think I've heard about this.
Yeah. Here's what I have to say to that. He has a point. Right? I understand where he's coming from. But here's the problem that I have with people like that and people who say things of that nature. Is that I'm from there.
Absolutely.
You understand what I'm trying to say? Like, I'm literally from that environment.
Right.
So, Jason, they're not, these things that they're showing you, they're not being made up. this is exactly, this is how it is. You understand what I'm trying to say? This is exactly how it is. So, the people who are raising money to help these kids, whether they're black, Chinese, white, whatever, the fact of the matter is this. There's money being raised, and this money is literally saving people's lives. Not imaginary. The malaria nets, the malaria medication, the water, people are literally surviving because these, whoever they are helping. So rather than just saying, oh, we don't need any white saviors, what are you going to do, David?
Absolutely.
What are you going to do? Are you doing anything to help? Because if you're not doing anything to help, these people are dying. You understand what I'm trying to say?
I understand what you're saying.
I can't stand people like that. Oh, you can point out that this, you can point, but what exactly are you doing? What are you doing?
You don't have the choice of, look, we're all humans, and yeah. Everyone wants to promote the human race as one equal everything, right? You don't have, how can you make a statement like that?
Yeah.
If you believe everyone is equal, then what's the difference?
What's the difference?
I mean, it's basic. You cannot have it both ways.
Yeah.
We've always promoted that. I mean, everything we always say, we give both sides of an objective story because we believe human beings are all the same,
human
right?
Human beings, yeah.
They're human beings. Mm-hmm. So if I'm raising money for something, say I'm raising money for drug rehabilitation.
Yes.
And now I can't take money from someone who's never done drugs? Does that make sense
doesn't
to
make
you?
Doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make sense to me.
Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make – everybody can have their opinion. And if he's going that direction because he's trying to say this is something that's portrayed in the media.
Yes.
You can say that.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you don't need people's help.
Exactly. Exactly.
You can say, hey, how about we highlight some other people?
Yes.
But it doesn't mean you don't need everyone's help because we are all humans on this planet together trying to figure it out.
Jason, as much as it pains me to see Africa being portrayed like that, because I'm from there, as much as it pains me to see that, being from there, I know that these things are actually happening. It's not, okay, when I was in Nigeria, right? Mm-hmm. When I was in Nigeria, black Americans were portrayed as thugs.
Right.
And gangsters.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, you told me this.
Now, I got to America, and I realized that majority were just good people. Now, they had that.
Yeah.
You understand what?
There was that element.
There was that element. No doubt about that. But majority are just good, nice people. You understand what? So the portrayal was wrong. Now, in Nigeria, yes, you have a tremendous amount of wealth. In Africa, you have a tremendous amount of wealth. But it's a very, very small percentage. Mm-hmm. Majority of the people are living just like that.
Without a doubt.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So they're not making these things up. They're not showing you something that's not the majority of the people are living just like that.
In poverty.
Cool.
Real poverty.
Yes. Yes, we don't need the white savior. Cool. Where are the black ones?
there you go.
Where are they?
There you go.
Come.
Yeah.
You're from Tottenham. You're doing your things in Tottenham. And Tottenham is an impoverished area. Mm-hmm. Cool. But where are the black saviors, man? We need them. The money I make here goes to Nigeria to go help people. We need
these things. And you don't ever talk about that.
No.
This is the first time you've ever said that out loud.
These things exist.
At all.
They exist. And we need help because if you don't give the help, people will literally die. I would prefer for the African governments to be able to take care of themselves. I would prefer for the Nigerian government to do what the hell they're supposed to do, but they're not doing it.
I hate to piggyback off of it, but this is the first time you've ever said that out loud.
Yeah.
And that is exactly why you can have this opinion and say the things you can, because you have put your money where your mouth is.
100%.
And that's what we're saying. We're saying it's okay to have an opinion, but do something about
do
it.
Do something.
Everybody's always talking until they got to give their pound of flesh.
And then they're, oh, no.
Then it's...
Don't you, Mr. David, unless you're going to do what these people are doing, unless you're going to provide what this comic relief is providing, or these people who are raising hundreds of millions of pounds to help people, unless you're going to do that,
yeah,
my friend, you just got to be quiet, man.
You got to chill out.
You just got to be quiet, bro.
I'm with you.
Yeah, that's it, man.
It's hard to come off of that, man. Is AP still here? Did he leave?
Man, I'm still here. You guys are so deep, man. I got my foot up, and I'm just like,
what's going on?
I am amazed, man.
This is how I roll.
That's real, though. Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. That's what makes you guys special and what you're doing here on this podcast and in the UK. I mean, it's just a different perspective. You don't always get people that want to be upfront and honest and just real with what's going on about topics that sometimes are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the thing about it, you guys are comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what makes it unique.
You know
what?
That's coming from the captain.
Mm-hmm.
Comfortable being uncomfortable. That I like that. And that's absolutely, absolutely right. Simon's writing something down.
That's going to be the title. That's the title of the podcast.
AP comes in and he lays down the title just like that. Little football note, maybe. We don't have to talk about it. But by the time you hear this, Antonio Brown may have been traded and not to the Jets or the Cardinals. We know that. But it'll be something to talk about.
Yeah.
We can go real deep on that.
Yeah, next time. When we know exactly where he's going, we'll get into that.
We'll roll on that, but that's something else. So it's our favorite time. Well, actually, I like other times because that was Kilimanjaro. I got even more stuff to talk about, but we'll get to that later. Time for our...
This is a long podcast.
I know,
man.
But we got to get the people what they want.
You must give the people what
they want.
Got to
give them what they
want.
That's
very important.
And it's time for hashtag ask OC the Chief. Hashtag Ask J Bell.
Here we go.
So, you know, most of the messages ask the same question about the Kilimanjaro walk. And it goes like this. Where's J Bell? So shout-outs to Oliver Kirk,
to J Bell.
Cola Rob, Coswell. You're going to like this one. Pablo El Loco.
Okay.
Andrew Tarver and Glenn.
Yeah. Where J Bell at, man? Where J Bell? Hey, P, you don't know about this, man. Anytime people see me in the street, that's the first thing they ask me. It's like, hey, oh, where's J Bell? Where's J Bell at?
Oh, see, like, but he don't go anywhere by himself?
He's not in my pocket.
Yeah.
But where's J Bell? What do you mean by where's J Bell? Do I literally have to be with J Bell? At all points. Where's J Bell at?
Oh,
incredible.
My gosh. All right, let's start.
Where is he? Where's Jason?
I wasn't on that mountain with you.
No.
I was there.
You were there in spirits.
I hit you a couple times. I said, his phone don't work. I hit him when he get back. All right, Tim. Tim asks, what are the benefits to a team or player when they use the franchise tag? Or the franchise tag is used, and when and why is it used? Ooh, AP, what do you think about that?
I think look what's going on with the Giants. Let's talk about a team we know very, very well with Landon Collins.
Yes,
I think there's always those situations where, as an organization, you know where you want to go with a certain player, and you know that if you start to open up Pandora's box, there's two things: you can wash your hands with a guy and just say, you know, we're going to move on and go in a different direction with the player or the type of style that we're trying to run. That's one thing. But to me, I would say this. When you got guys, especially that you drafted, like, for example, let's say we're talking about OC. He was drafted, second-round draft pick. And OC had a moment where, you know, he wanted more money. And if we need to use that franchise tag, it needs to be used.
Yes.
Right? But then, okay, let's look at what's going on with Landon Collins. The organization has not been in a good place for a long time.
Yes.
Meaning winning, right? Like what we're used to seeing and what we did when we were there. And you say, okay, well, look, we're paying all these pieces to win and to give us an opportunity to produce and play in the playoffs and maybe get to a Super Bowl. And when it doesn't happen, you have to say, is it worth that tag? Is it worth that price? Then what's the value if you do tag them? Can we get what we think is worth on the fair market as far as trade value? And I think with Landon, I think with the Giants, I think they have seen enough where they say, we don't think that we can get our bang for the buck. And it's different because there's other organizations. Let's go to the Pittsburgh Steelers with Le'Veon Bell. I don't know if we want to give this guy that kind of money. We're already having concerns about X, Y, and Z. We give him this, you already know X, Y, and Z becomes capitalized.
Well, we see what kind of problems they've been having.
All across the board.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. This one's to you, OC. Okay. AP, I'm probably not going to ask you another question because that was so good they might remove me from the podcast.
Listen. So, OC is Jay Bell's here. AP's watching from back in the U.S.
That's your last question.
Okay. Well, I'm going to sit back and watch.
Steve Pritchard. Hey, guys. Love the podcast. Keep them coming. I watched the movie The Blind Side, hashtag amazing. Did you ever go up against Michael Orr over the years? And if so, how did it pan out?
Michael, when I got to the league, Michael wasn't a blindside tackle. He was a right tackle.
Oh, he moved?
When he got in there, when I was playing against him, yeah. So he wasn't on the blind side. He was on the other side.
Yeah.
But I remember Brian Cox, our defensive, he was a coach. He was a defensive line coach. And Brian was crazy. I think Brian and AP would have got along really
The former player, Brian Cox.
So I remember one time we were scrimmaging against the Tennessee Titans, and Michael Orr did something to one of our defensive linemen, and Brian wanted to fight him. So Brian jumps into the one-on-ones, and he starts talking. He's like, "You blindside bitch." Funniest thing I've ever heard.
He's like, "Coach!
Coach, what are you doing?" He used to, Brian Cox would fight. He would, you know, try and fight players, man. He was crazy. So, but I never really played against Orr like that, man. He was on the other side. He called him a blindside B.
Like, come on, man.
What are you doing? What are you doing, Cox? Cox, you're crazy, man.
Come over and be a coach. Daniel Snowden, OC, try freezing.
Wait a minute. Daniel Snowden? I know Daniel Snowden. Is that the guy? Is that him? Is that the guy who used to work for the NSA?
That's Edward Snowden.
Oh, Ed Snowden. My bad. Yeah. I apologize.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I was like,
oh,
wait
my
a minute.
Gosh.
I know
Did
Snowden.
You think we just got a message?
From him.
From him in the embassy. Where is he at? Is he in Moscow?
He's Lithuania in Lithuania or something? That's Ed Snowden.
That's right. Ed Snowden.
Okay, my bad. Go ahead.
And then you were about to admit that you knew him. No, no,
like
and no.
I've heard of that guy.
No, no, and no. Oh, my God.
My bad, my bad. My bad, Dan. I apologize.
Sorry, Dan. Sorry. OC, try freezing your wine gums. They last even longer.
Yeah, but I have problems with my teeth, man. So if I do that, that'll be really, really bad.
I don't even understand that.
You know what the wine gums are? The candies. They're so good, man. They're super good.
Did we talk about those?
Yeah, we talked about them in fruit pastilles.
Oh, yeah.
Not pastilles. Fruit pastilles. That's what they are, pastilles.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to try that, though. I think that would be good.
Oh, man.
I'm big into candy.
Cheryl Ahern, laugh out loud, funny guys. If I listen at work, I have to choke back the giggles or resist saying, "Oh, Jesus." I can't wait for the next episode to hear the madness from you two. I understand that I've listened ours back on the tube, and it was aggressive.
Craziness.
OC, reviews.
What we got, man?
Reviews on iTunes, Apple iTunes.
I feel like we're going too long, Jason.
We are.
No, this show's rolling, man. Actually, keep going, guys. Like, I flew 11 hours. This podcast cannot be 30 minutes. We need to get an hour. I don't know where we're at now. All right.
Over 500 reviews.
Okay.
Over 500 five-star.
Five stars.
Yes, over five.
Incredible.
Yep. I mean.
Five stars.
Oh, look at this guy. LJazz89. J Bell does look like a young John Barnes. Best podcast out there. I am fully... I can't read something.
Fledged disciple,
yeah. Fully fledged disciple of the Jason and OC podcast. Hashtag uprise.
Gotta uprise, man.
You know.
Got to uprise.
All right. Gab the Scav? Great show, lads. Can we have a longer podcast? I gave it to you.
You did.
Where's J Bell?
Where's Jason?
Yep. We are now also on Spotify. Just search.
Really?
Jason and OC Podcast.
We're on Spotify?
We're on Audio Boom. We're on CastBox. You can find us everywhere.
I'm going to see how far I can push this so we can get kicked off.
Shout out to OC's mission of getting us kicked off on all the platforms.
Ways. I want them to. They'll be like, we can't allow these guys on.
I don't even want to laugh at this because I don't want it to happen, but it's hilarious.
Push it to the limit, J-Bell.
Push it. Man, go get some rest, my brother. Get some rest. It's great to have you back. Uprise.
Been around the world, seen so many girls, but never seen nobody like you. Been so many places and seen so many faces, but I never thought I'd find someone like you. Mamacita, señorita, I never leave her. Because I need her, Mamacita, Angelina.